Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
B-Pod Studios.
B.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Our offensive game was just not where it needed to be tonight. That's how I felt. I thought our power play wasn't crisp, bled into our 5-on-5. You know, at the end of the day, just not enough on the offensive side of things. I think we weren't hard enough to play against in that regard. I honestly thought our top guys didn't seem to have it. You know, couldn't find ice, give Washington credit. Couldn't escape pressure in the power play and find the open guy. So I said, I just think a lot of those guys that have been doing a lot of scoring for us just, you know, weren't able to get to their game tonight or get the puck to cooperate or support each other well enough to generate enough offense, I thought. You know, other than that, it was, like I said, not really typical of what we've seen lately from that group. So hopefully game two, they're a little sharp.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program, Felger and Maserati, on Monday, May 17th. It's a re-entry Monday, brought to you by our friends at East Boston Savings Bank. Everything from the weekend, but we're going to be a lot of Bruins today, as you can imagine, off their Game 1 loss in Washington. Maz Murray, how you guys doing?
Good. You?
So we run the Cassidy cut there, because I thought that was sort of the most interesting part. The storyline, anyway, coming out of the game. I mean, I thought it was a fabulous game. But Bruce Cassidy basically comes out and calls out his best players. Our top guys didn't seem to have it. Weren't able to get to their game. Not typical. But again, he went right for his best offensive players. How do you feel about that, Miz?
He's 100% right. I mean, to me, that was the core of the problem. So again, it doesn't mean everything else was perfect. But if you talk about the biggest area of deficiency, their ability to generate offense, they couldn't do it, particularly with the top guys. And so, to me, he nailed it. Absolutely. Right on the money. They got to get more out of those first two groups. And I'm including the second line. The first line speaks for itself. I'm including the second line. They got nothing out of that. Now, look, there were some things in that game, and not to get too bogged down with some of the particulars. I thought the Capitals were way better defensively in both zones, neutral zone and in their own zone, than I expected them to be. It felt to me like they make a concerted effort to get back. I was not expecting that. And it felt like neither were the Bruins. I just, you know, to me, it didn't feel like they pushed to get on the inside a lot. I think Cassidy's dead on.
Yeah, he's 1,000% right to call out those guys, and especially the top line. And that's what was so disappointing about watching that game. Like, yeah, I have my issues with Rask, but, you know, like the lack of production from your best players and your forwards, and even the third line sucked too, by the way. I saw a stat collectively on 5-on-5. They only had 5 shots, Coyle, Corrali, and Richie, so they sucked too. But it's like we've seen this movie time and again in the playoffs with this group. The top line disappears. And it's just like, I don't know. Like, I'm not losing hope. It's only one game. But that was just so disappointing because it was just more of the same of what we've seen from this team in the playoffs recently.
So I didn't think it was that bad.
Really?
Yeah, that's why I was surprised to hear Cassidy. And it really stood out to me. You know, he went right after his best players. And I think most people agree. You know, you guys too. And I think the consensus is that. So maybe I just saw it wrong. But I thought they were, at the very end of the day, not fine enough. and not dialed in enough. But I don't feel it's like they didn't show up. I don't feel that's the case. I feel they showed up. And I don't feel like they were invisible. I feel like they got in, you know, scoring chances, scoring areas, if you will, and missed the net or tried one extra pass or one extra deke. And it was sort of self-inflicted, and they just weren't quite all the way there from a skill standpoint. You know, Marchand particularly, and I think Cassie said this yesterday, that he could tell on Marchand in that first rush, this opening rush, where I think it was in the first 30 seconds where Greslick threw this great cross-ice pass to Pastrnak coming out of the zone. It was he and Marchand two-on-one, and Marchand, you know, tries to send it cross-ice to Pastrnak when he had room and space to do a lot more than that and got poke-checked away, and Cassie said he knew right there that his guys didn't have it. But it's not like they didn't have jump. I don't believe that. I don't believe that they slept walk. I don't believe that they did not show up. I think they were just off. Now, Murray raises a good point. They've been off in the past. And so maybe this is a trend. But I think if they were just a little finer offensively, they had their chances.
I know the 2-on-1 you're talking about. I remember thinking stupid pass, shoot the puck.
So if it's not a, yeah, they showed up, but it's a tightness thing. Would you at least give me that?
Yeah. Like that's, no, maybe that's it, Murray. Maybe that's even closer. That's even closer to it. Go ahead.
That's what I saw. And that's what I've seen before. And you've used the term like, you know, they're maybe holding onto the stick a little bit too tight. Like I thought that was evident pretty quickly. And then when they went to Anderson and they have what, 9 shots in the second period and then 8 in the third, it was just like one too many passes. And guys, they just looked a little like a little too tight. And I've seen this with this group way too much over the last few years.
I mean, I can see that. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I wouldn't call it a no-show either. I mean, that to me is way too strong. But I do think that, you know, they kind of got bottled up a little bit. And I didn't feel like there was that attitude of, I'm getting to the net and you're stopping me. I didn't feel like there was that. And so, you know, I look, there's no question they overpassed and stuff like that. I also didn't think the game was as fast-paced or entertaining as you did. I didn't think it sucked by any stretch. I thought it was a good game. I didn't think it was a great game. And I didn't think it was quite for the Bruins at the playoff pace that it needed to be.
Mm. I don't know. I had a couple glasses of wine. I don't know.
Someone, if anyone was loose, it was Mike Felger.
I thought they were straight. The first 2 minutes, you know, because you just kind of forget what the playoff hockey's like. I mean, the first 2 minutes punctuated by Ovechkin sending Krejci into freaking Maryland. I had me out of my seat, literally. And I was like, oh, man. And then I thought there were a couple of stretches. There was a sequence in the third period, and you might remember it because Oshie got his head taken off, and his hat and his glove, his helmet and his gloves or stick was on the ice in the Bruins zone for like 5 minutes. That was just up and down, back and forth. And not, again, at the end towards the net, they weren't pure scoring chances because I think that's where the Bruins, you know, I would second guess them. But I don't know. I thought it was really good, and I thought for the most part the Bruins were there. Not all the way there, but for the most part there. The Capitals are good. The Capitals are good, and you're not great. So I don't know what the expectation is. Talent for talent, you're not much better than the Capitals if you are at all. So I don't know exactly what fans might be expecting on that. I think the biggest thing to feel regretful of is, you know, the goalie thing. Craig freaking Anderson. He turns 40 on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
He started 2 games this year. Started 2 effing games. His last playoff game was the year they beat you. Cassidy's first year when he took over for Claude, like that year, 2017, 4 years ago. And he took him all the way to game 7 of the conference final. So, I mean, he had a really good run, and he's got good postseason track record. It's just he's 40, and he hasn't played a postseason game in 4 years. And the guy, he was their fourth string goalie, I think. He was like on their black aces all year or whatever. He started 2 effing games. And he comes in cold, and you only put, what, 21 shots on him or something like that? So that's a missed opportunity. But you had a crap ton of shots. they just a bunch missed the net.
Oh my gosh, did I hear right that it's the most shots they missed on net, or you know, off net since 2018?
Yeah, is that right?
Correct. Or something like that? I thought I heard Ty Anderson say that. In 3 years, they haven't missed the net that many times. Oh God, it was like they were blindfolded half the time.
They missed the net 21 times.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just
so
ridiculous.
That's tightness.
Okay, so good, Murray. I like it. That's right. But I don't want to hear they didn't show up. I disagree. If anything, they get too tight. TBS. Right, Murray? Yeah. Tight booty syndrome.
Tight booty syndrome. It was a lot of that.
And maybe Marchand particularly. I mean, that first 2-on-1. Then there was the thing at the end of the second period where he has a really nice rush, just misses the post on the right side. It kicks right back out to him off the kick plate. He whiffs on the
rebound.
Whiffs on the rebound. The Caps go back the other way. Eller cranks it off the crossbar. Like, I thought there was plenty of that. I thought it was a good game. It wasn't as good as some of the others I saw.
That was a good weekend for the league.
Holy crap. If you watched that Tampa Florida game last night, I couldn't believe my eyes. I'm like, is that the Florida Panthers? And, oh, by the way, they had to pumping in, even though there were fans in the stands, that crowd noise had to be super fake. Do you notice how loud the volume was down
there?
Yeah,
and they were doing something with the seats initially. I'm like, that's a packed house. And then when you really look closer, you're like, no, it's not. So, yeah, they were sweetening the audio or something.
I had to. But either way, like, so I'm not telling you, like, I think the Islanders game yesterday afternoon and the Panthers game, Lightning game last night were at a whole nother level. But I thought the Bruins, for the most part, were there. They just... Tight booty syndrome, tight booty. And, Maz, you're right about there's not enough screens, not enough second chances, not enough rebound opportunity because there's not enough guys who are willing to get inside and take the beating inside.
Yeah, look, and I give Washington a little bit of the credit for that. They clearly came out, sent a message. They were going to hit you early, and they're big all the way around. So now you get hit early. Now you don't want to go in there. And I'll tell you, there were a bunch of times where I saw the Bruins go in, and there were four Caps in the zone already. Like, I just felt like they made a concerted. I expected a game more like the Florida-Tampa game. I thought it was going to be a little more open than it was. And it was, I thought, a little more tight checking. And, you know, they made a comment, I think, during the second intermission about not a lot of space. And I thought, well, that's how I feel. Like, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you the game sucked. It was hot playoff hockey. It was entertaining. But I expected more. I thought it was going to be a little more open than it was, and it was not.
The thing that was kind of scary for me, too, was Ovechkin was shot out of a cannon. And I know he was dinged up and missed a bunch of games towards the end of the season, so maybe I was counting too much on that. Oh, my God. He was so good.
Yeah, look, again, they're going to beat the crap out. They're going to try to beat the crap out of you. Get used to it.
Do the Bruins have to match?
No,
no one's have to respond. Like, I hear this all the time too, and I think it's misplaced.
No, they just need to be able to withstand it, right? Like, and look, when it's there, you take the hit. Don't get me wrong, but I think Bruins fans overplay this part.
Yes,
like, yeah, get Frederick in there. DeBrusque scored. He had a good game the other night.
He's been good down on that fourth line.
I thought DeBrusque was one of their better players the other night. I thought he was good really the whole game. So I looked at it and said, well, Cassidy was right about that one. He made the right call there. Now, you want to take someone else out? Fine, I guess. But I thought Wagner was pretty good, too.
The Capitals are bigger and more physical than you. That's just how they're built and how you're built. So if you want to complain about this offseason with Don Sweeney, for this matchup, you're not going to be more physical or bigger. You're not going to grow. You're not going to grow in the next 2 weeks. And so this is that. And so, but the bigger, more physical team doesn't always have to win. The Blackhawks did it. The Canadians did it for years. You want to go back in history, et cetera. How many times were the Bruins a bigger, stronger team and lost? Forever, my entire life. Until now. Until now, they're sort of on the other end of some of these matchups. But you don't need to out-hit the Capitals or match the Capitals. You need to finish and use your skill advantage. If it is even an advantage, this is the thing. The Capitals have a blend there. Tom Wilson, unfortunately, can play. He's not just a knuckle-dragging goon. He can play. He's got nice hands for a guy his size. So, but you do have skill. I don't know if you have more skill than the Caps, but you have skill. So use your skill, finish your chances. And if they out-hit you, they out-hit you. Stand up to it in your fashion, meaning take the hit and keep playing. It's easy for me to say I'm not David Krejci. That poor fella on that first hit. What do you think he was seeing?
Stars.
My goodness. So anyway, we're off and running. Your Bruins thoughts after game one. 617-779-0985. Right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You are a sorry liar. You are a sad, sorry lot.
98.5.
Literally pathetic.
The Sports Hub.
Lazard, DeBrusque, and Wagner get an ozone draw. Right circle.
Try to get this puck to DeBrusque coming off the wall here.
Off the faceoff, Lazard. Get into the slot. They score! Jake DeBrusque with a lightning snapper far post. And Vanacek is down. Bruins 1, Capitals 1.
Vanacek's coming out of the game.
So applause from the crowd here at Capital One Arena. But there has to be a massive concern as Vanacek limps down the tunnel right in front of us behind the Capitals bench. Craig Anderson steps in, 39 years old. This year with the Capitals, he only started 2 games. His last playoff action with the Ottawa Senators in the 16-17 season.
Can't take advantage. I feel you on that. That feels tremendously disappointing. Guy who started, 40-year-old guy who started 2 games this year, 4th string goalie, comes in and you don't make him pay. That does feel like a missed opportunity. But I don't feel like you were horrible. I don't know. Maybe I'm Wilson past the graveyard. I don't know how good you think the Bruins are or how vulnerable you think the Caps are. I mean, the teams are evenly matched, if not, again, a talent advantage to Washington. They won the cup 2 years ago. So, like, you're not playing a chopped liver here. The goalie may be chopped liver, although his playoff stats are pretty darn good. Let's go to your phones to get your thoughts on this as we lead off the show talking Bruins. Bobby and Drake, go ahead, Bobby.
Yeah, I think the Bruins, they didn't come out ready to play. It seemed like they were kind of surprised that they were in a playoff game in the first minute or so there.
I disagree with you.
Well, I mean, Washington came out flying and they were hitting, but in terms of the first line, Marchand, too passive. He had 2 2-on-1s with Pasternak. And I think the second one, he tried to zip a pass. He was like one step over the blue line. It's just, I don't know if he's trying to get Pasternak involved and going, but he has to be their best player, and he's going to shoot the puck.
Okay, I'm with you on that, Bobby. But so, did Marchand not show up?
No. I just think, honestly,
He was all over the place. He lost the puck a bunch. He was loose with the puck. He didn't finish his chances. He overthought. But that's different than saying he didn't show up. Maybe we're just talking semantics. But the kid showed up, but maybe he's
tight,
too amped.
Yeah, look, see, Bruins fans always turn it into you either showed up or you didn't. And I'm not, you know, look, because it's easy to do it that way. I don't think that was it. Look, on the power play, and this even spills into the regular season a little, but let's stick to game one. How many times does Marchand have the puck there on that faceoff circle, and it looks like he has somewhere to shoot it, and he doesn't? Shoot the damn puck.
Especially him. He's got a good shot.
Well, look, if they're gonna cheat on Pasternak's side, then they're going to let Marchand shoot. Someone's going to get a shot there. Shoot the effing puck.
Randy in New Hampshire, hi.
Yeah, Mike, Tony, I have to agree with you. I think you're right. I don't think that they didn't show up. I think they were tight when they did show up. But my point is, I didn't realize it until they made Anderson look like Ken Dryden. And then I watched the Lightning and the Panthers play at a level that, not having missed a Bruin game all year, I don't think I've seen the Bruins play at. So I didn't realize until I saw the Lightning game and the Panthers and how they played, how off the Bruins really were, and that gives me concern.
Well, I mean, that Lightning Florida thing was just, I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that. That was preposterous what those two teams were doing last night and piling on each other and everything else. You know, Washington and Boston are different teams. They're a little slower, a little more polished. Certainly Washington is. And you know, but oh, by the way, like, what was the final of that game, the Florida game?
5-4.
5-4. You know, I'd be surprised if there was a 5-4 game in this one.
Oh, see, I thought we were going to get, I don't want to say 5-4 every game. I thought the Caps were going to play a little more open.
No, I mean, I would love 5-4. I just think the Caps are too heavy.
Yeah, so look, and maybe it's that simple. I just thought, again, I thought Washington would err on the side of being, you know, really overly aggressive in the offensive zone, and they didn't. I was surprised that the Caps were as complete as they were, both ends of the ice.
Alan in California. Hi, Alan.
Hey, I got a new word. Boutique hockey club. Like, McAvoy breaks a stick, Taps send a 4-on-2. You know, Wilson goes top corner like he's Mark Messier. It was like, my first thought was like, okay, game over. Okay, what can we do to fix this? And it's the same old, same old.
Okay. I don't quite get it. I don't know.
This is the other thing.
He broke his stick. So what's he supposed to do there?
It's a bad break. I mean, again, now you're between two forwards and you can't play the puck because what can you do? Are you going to kick it? I mean, you could play with your skates, but
he could have laid out along the ice and made who's coming down with Wilson, whoever, do a saucer pass over. Like, you could second guess that.
Sure.
I didn't love how Rask played that. I don't think he put himself in the best position to come up with a save there.
Me either.
Sort of was down and against the post and gave Wilson the corner, and Wilson is good enough to hit it. But, like, I don't sit there and say, why didn't show up? He snapped his stick in half, and the guy put it in the upper corner coming down the on a odd man break at a million miles an hour.
Like, so that goal prompted that guy to say, well, this is over.
It's a boutique hockey team. Is that what he said?
Like, you know, first goal, that's it? You're done?
Even I'm not that drastic.
Okay, so but if that's the case, forget it. You have no chance.
Phil and Norwood, go.
I don't know if it's maybe my Tuukka Rask bias, but why is it that every single time you need him, he lets something hit him in the chest and squeak behind his bum for a goal? You don't want to say that he's the reason you lost the game, but at the end of the day, he gave up the goal that lost the game.
Murray, give me your thoughts on Rask.
He was very good in the third period. He's not the reason they lost, but I didn't think he was all that great overall. I didn't love that first goal, and the one in overtime is inexcusable. Flat out inexcusable. It hits you in the chest and somehow trickles through your crotch. How does that happen? I'm sorry. Like, and it was, and going into overtime, my first thought was, how's he going to blow this for him? Like, I've lost all trust in the guy. I have. He's ultimately not the reason they lost. He's not. But I just thought he was meh.
So if it's deflected, doesn't the goalie get the break on any deflection?
Usually, yes. The nature of this one, though, bothered me, too. I'd be lying if I told you otherwise. And honestly, I think if you look at all the goals in the game, one came on a broken stick where the guy picked the corner. Two deflections for the Caps. The puck goes right to DeBrusk off a faceoff, and, you know, he sneaks it past the goalie who never saw the thing. And the other one with Richie in front. I mean, I don't think there was like a real quote-unquote highlight goal. I mean, the Wilson one was pretty close. Don't get me wrong. He picked a corner. But in the same breath, I don't know. There's something about it going in off your own pad and you pulling it into your goal. And I know it was a deflection, but that one bugged me. I don't know if I can blame him for it.
It was gross. Bugged you? That one in overtime was gross.
It was hard to stomach, though.
Let's grab Brian in the car. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Jim Murray, love all the stuff you do. I'm not going to disagree with you boys that the Bruins, they did show up, but they showed up in the classic Bruins fashion. Underachieve, underperform. Not physical whatsoever. They got annihilated.
You're wrong.
A couple minutes.
You're wrong.
I'm sorry?
To say they were not physical, to say they were not physical whatsoever is a ridiculous overstatement, Brian.
Mike, they skate off instead of skating through the hit.
Sometimes. I saw them take a lot of contact. I saw them dole out a lot of contact. They weren't the more physical team, but that doesn't mean they weren't physical. What's the matter with you?
Yeah, so look, again, now if he's talking about, you know, being able to handle hits or, you know, trying to go around them, I think Hall's a little guilty of that sometimes. I'd like to see Hall, you know, if it's closing up on him, you're strong, put your shoulder down. Instead of, you know, look, he drew a couple of penalties sidestepping, okay? So,
well, coming into the zone, man,
he's scary.
He's a bad man. But,
yeah.
So this is like my beef with the whole team. Once he gets to the hash marks, though, it's like it's getting poke checked away. He's not making a play. Once he gets, again, from the red line into the top of the faceoff circles, look out. Well, now you got to do something when you're down there. But anyway, keep going.
No, so I do think there's a little of that. I do think there's a little of that. But the hits in the game were 51-41. I mean, okay, so it's a few hits a period is what you're talking about the difference.
Go watch McAvoy. He laid some guys out.
Yeah, he did, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, the other guy who I thought played physical back there, I thought Lozon was physical. I thought he played kind of unafraid. Now, look, again, I'm not telling you he was great, but I was surprised to see him as assertive right in Ovechkin's face. And it wasn't, cheap or nothing showy. He was like, hey, I'm not moving, pal. And, again, a stupid penalty. I didn't love the penalty, but I love the attitude.
Okay, let's get to Lenny and Squiggy now. Tommy and Lynn. Go, Tommy.
What's up, boys? How are you?
Good. What do you got?
All right, here I go. So, Felga, Pasternak, he turned the puck over too many times, all right? So he needs to start turning the puck over. The Bruins, they got outplayed. They played good, though, to the most part. But Rask, in overtime, when he let up that softie, I think Big Jim Murray and I could have stopped that.
Okay, Tommy, thanks for the call. Ryan and Bill Rucker, what do you think?
What's up, boys? Real quick, Maz, thank you for the cameo message.
You're welcome.
Back to my point. So it seems to me every time the Bruins, when they get to the playoffs and play a physical team, that first line, they don't look the same. And, I think David Pasternak, I think he's softer than toilet paper, okay? So I think he's got to get a little tougher because I think that's going to be a big X factor in the series if you don't notice David Pasternak because he's, let's face it, he's, the top guy on the power play. And I haven't seen him shoot a one-timer in a while on the power play that's went in.
Well, so. That is true, too. But the thing on Pasternak and the turnovers, I think he's so bad at that and has been so bad at that for so long that I thought in this game it was a little improved because I just think – I've been talking about this for years. I just find half the time with the puck he's a effing disaster. Just shoot the puck. Get rid of it. And I thought in this game he actually was not as bad. I thought Marchand was bad in this regard in this game.
Totally.
Yeah, I thought Marchand picked up some of Pasternak's bad habits with the turnovers and bad puck management.
I mean, that 2-on-1 where he passed it early and the guy just poked it away – I thought, what are you doing? And as for Pasternak, he was in front of the net when he drew the penalty that led to the Richie goal.
And he did. And he also picked Chara clean in the corner and came out in front of the net, almost stuffed it in. He was kind of there. I think he had like 5 shots on net or something, right?
He was one of they got a lot from their defensemen. I think Grizzlick and McAvoy were their leader in shots. But, Pasternak, surprisingly to me, stuck his nose in front of the net. And I was surprised to see that.
Okay, we'll continue with your thoughts on that all day long. It is a reentry Monday. It is brought to you by our friends at East Boston Savings Bank. We'll get to some other stuff throughout the course of the day, starting with a quick Red Sox minute from Maz right after Murray tells us about reentry Mondays.
Right. If you're looking to finance a home mortgage or commercial real estate property, or simply looking for a free checking account, visit ebsb.com. That's East Boston Savings Bank. East Boston Savings Bank, in your neighborhood since 1848.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Life's better with American Family Insurance. Because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Felger and Mass.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good. Oh, yeah, I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's a swing and a high fly ball down the right field line, heading for the pesky pole, but that ball is fair. That is gone. That's a home run. He's hit it out. Ohtani tucks it inside the pesky pole, and that puts the Angels in front, 6-5.
Just what you didn't want to see. My goodness.
Ohtani with his second home run of the series, and the Angels have the lead in the ninth inning.
Okay, Red Sox Minute here on a reentry Monday with Tony Maz. Sox almost sweep out the Angels. Shohei Ohtani gets some at Barnes. First guy to do it this year. What are your thoughts, Maz?
So what I want to see here now is what happens with Barnes, who's been great this year. He's been their best reliever. But let's not forget, the Red Sox didn't have a closer at the beginning of the year. The whole thing was we're going to go back between Barnes and Ottavino in the eighth and ninth innings. And Barnes clearly established himself as the closer early, and he's been great. But this is his first fail, and he's never had a full season as a closer, so we really don't know what we're going to get. And honestly, listening to the post game yesterday, and I watched the whole thing this morning on Zoom, and he felt defensive to me when he was asked about the end of his run to start the year. You know, when he'd been so good until yesterday. You realize in save situations, guys were 1-for-29 against him with 16 strikeouts.
I mean, I didn't know those numbers, but. No one hits him.
No, he's been lights out. And so what bugged me about yesterday, two outs, bases empty, little blue pit in the right center field. And I know people will say, well, how does that fall in? Two outs, Trout's up. They're playing him deep because they don't want to give up a double. So then he just drops one. So I think there's a little overthinking there on the Red Sox, but I also think they caught a little bit of a bad break. And then the next pitch, Barnes looked pissed when the ball fell in. Okay, he looked frustrated. And then the next pitch, he pipes a fastball, and Ohtani hits it around the foul pole.
Isn't that kind of fluky, too?
Maybe, but also, is it a coincidence that after he didn't get the final out when he thought he had gotten Trout, that he looks frustrated, gets to the mound, and then leaves a fastball over the middle of the plate? So this is what I want to see. Was that just fluky? It might have been. Or was he pissed that the ball fell in? Not that he's blaming anybody, but he's frustrated. Then he gets up there and he's not yet focused and he pipes a fastball and the guy hits it around the pole. So I just think it's something you got to watch with Barnes. There's a reason up to now they never made him a closer. So what is it? This is like, I don't want to say it's the Daniel Bard thing.
What is the walks? Used to be?
Part of it, but I also think some of it speaks to mentality. Like, they must have felt he wasn't quite ready for it.
Well, I'm waiting to see a team that just doesn't swing at his curveball in the dirt. You know, like if there's a team that's disciplined enough to lay off that, then, you know, what does he have? I mean, I know easier said than done, but how many times do I see guys striking out with balls in the dirt on this guy?
All the time. And again, the first pitch to Ohtani was a fastball, basically middle thigh high, and he crushed it. So now look, it's again around the right field pole. Like, I'm just telling you that, look, Barnes has been great. I would still watch it. I would watch it. They the big problem is they don't have anybody in the eighth. And Barnes had to come in the eighth because Ottavino couldn't get through it. And he got out of that and got a strikeout. But then he's got to go back out for the ninth. So they're at least one reliever short, but they don't need the closer to go belly up on him either.
How about Ohtani in general? Did he have two home runs this weekend?
He did. One to left, one to right.
And he's the major league leader in home runs?
I believe that's right.
With a 2.01 ERA?
Yeah.
It's ballsy.
Yeah. In fact, I liked what Barnes said about him after the game was, look, I think the guy's the most talented player we've ever seen. And by that, he means the combination of the, right? I mean, Trout is probably a more talented offensive player. Not probably is. But as Barnes said, the guy hits two home runs. By the way, the first one, he flicked into the left field seats.
Right.
That was two nights ago, Friday night. Then yesterday, he pulls one around the right field foul pole. So you got to defend the whole field. He hits it out of the ballpark, and he throws 101 miles an hour.
Fantastic.
It is. It's absolutely great. Yeah, so look, again, he's a good player. It was Trout and Ohtani that beat him. But I do worry about Barnes bouncing back from it. I want to see it.
Okay, one more quick Red Sox thought. We're almost at Memorial Day, Maz. That's when you say it gets real. Okay, is it getting real?
Oh, I think it's absolutely getting real. I think they're going to be in it for the year.
Oh.
No, I do. Look, we're 40 it's games, Murray.
Rare movement there, Murray.
Yeah.
No, look, again, looking across the league, there might be one or two. The White Sox look really, really good. I think Oakland's really, really good. I said that at the end of last week. But other than that, I think there were a lot of flawed teams. And they play hard, and the starting pitching, for the most part, is held up. I worry about the health of all those pitchers later in the year, but I always worry about that. So if you're asking me, do I think they're going to collapse? No, I don't. Now that I said that, they'll go to Toronto and they'll lose three in a row. But I don't think they're going to collapse. I think they're in it for the haul.
Where's the weak link still, Maz? Is it the pitching or is it?
That eighth inning is a train wreck, Murray.
Yeah.
It's a freaking train wreck. Ottavino is the right-handed equivalent of Garrett Richards.
Who's been good.
Yeah, lately, yeah. Yeah, I just mean that, he's a thrower. He's not a pitcher. He just winds up and throws it out of his ass. Like, I hate guys. Like, I can't stand guys like that. Drives me bananas. I can find a million guys that can throw 98, but if they don't know where it's going, what good is it? So they got to figure that out because that's a pro. You can't keep bringing Barnes in the eighth inning. Can't do it.
Okay, you want to mix in some Sox calls with our Bruins stuff? By all means, we'll get to you in our long commercial-free segment next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.
Felger and Mass.
I'm just going to ramble and rant for 15 minutes if you let me. I'm not joking.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't worry about Brad too often unless there's a lingering issue. There's none of that that I'm aware of in terms of an injury story. At the end of the day, he didn't have his best last night. He's still a factor in the game. You could tell early on that maybe he wasn't quite there, his legs. When he had that 2-on-1 early on, tried to get it over to Pasta. I think he had more time. Normally he'd attack more and force that D to commit, and then he'd make the play. So, right then it's sort of like, maybe he just doesn't have the jump he needs.
Cassidy on Marchand. What, Cassidy just tells it like it is, doesn't he?
Don't you love it?
There's no protecting the best player. Not that he ripped him or anything. It didn't plain spoken English. We could tell right away in that 2-on-1, maybe it just wasn't his night. Some coaches are afraid to say that about his best players. We'll see. They've responded to him, for the most part. Obviously not at a championship level, but we'll see how they all respond tonight. To me, it's not an issue of them being more fired up or more ready to play. And maybe it's just a thing Murray said. They're too amped, for Pete's sake, and they hold the stick too tight. I think that's what it is.
How many times do you see, and not just on Saturday night, but just in playoff series with this team in recent years, like they get into the zone and it's panic, missed. And it's like these guys that are so infinitely talented that you can normally trust, at least during the regular season, like lose their minds.
Little bit, Murray. Okay, back to your thoughts, as promised. Trooper's in the car. Hi, Trooper.
Hey, Michael. Yeah, just a couple things. I thought they were thoroughly outplayed. You look at the zone time in that game. There was sustained pressure by the Caps on multiple opportunities.
Yes?
Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay. Yeah, as far as... the Bruins aren't the 1980 Edmonton Oilers. You can't pass the puck into the net. They've got to shoot the puck. I also want to highlight, what does Matt Grizzlick give us? Did you see that play in the third period where he was going to pinch in, and then he gave up like a 3-on-1? He didn't know what to do.
Okay, that was a bad pinch. He's good coming out of your zone.
Yeah.
That first pass is good. Puck gets going the other way with him pretty good. And he's also good at getting shots through, which you have a big trouble with a lot of your other guys. Grizzlick's okay.
I don't have an issue with Grizzlick.
Me neither. His first statement, you were thoroughly outplayed. I just disagree with the thoroughly part. You were outplayed.
Caps were the better team.
Yes, but not by much. And that doesn't mean anything. If that holds true for this series, you're going to lose in five. So, I'm not telling you that that's good enough for anything. I just think people are overplaying how badly you got beat up or how thoroughly you were outplayed. I don't think it was thoroughly. I think it was just outplayed. And I don't know what that means. I don't know why I need to argue that point. I think overstating it. Matt in New Bedford. Hi, Matt.
So I thought Brad Marchand was clearly the worst player on the Bruins. Second was Tuukka Rask. I mean, as soon as that game was over, I knew Ty Anderson was going to run to the keyboard and start a Tuukka defense, and I wasn't disappointed. I read the article, and he said, "Oh, what do you want him to do? Well, the first goal back before he had a broken stick. I don't know. Maybe play the angle better. Maybe not act like Tom Wilson's coming out of the effing corner."
I'll leave it on that. I'm trying to hold off on the Tuukka Rask stuff, if you can tell. Just let it play, let everybody get it off their chest, because it has become such a stupid topic. But
how'd you feel about the overtime goal? I feel like you avoided that one.
Yeah, I did, purposely.
Okay, let's hear it.
I don't blame him. It's a deflection, and it's a bad bounce. It's just a bad bounce. It's a fluke, one in a million kind of thing off a deflection. So I don't mean to defend him, but it's like, I mean, here's what's exhausting, is that the Ty Andersons of the world immediately are like, well, he's not why they lost. Well, okay, fine. He's not why they lost. He's also not why they won. And it was just a classic Rask game where it's like, yeah, it wasn't his fault, but they didn't win. Like, that's just so him. I mean, Maz said it really well last week. He never, almost never completely sucks. Like, you don't get those glaring sort of 7-1 games and he's pulled after four goals because he just doesn't have it. It almost never happens to him. I mean, he rarely ever has to be pulled. Rarely ever do you come out there and say he just got shelled. It's usually like that. It's like, no, he was pretty good. It wasn't his fault. But you lost on a deflection that went off of him. And, well, you can't blame him for the deflection. It's like right where you always usually are with him. He was just like they always are, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, I'll tell you what, though. It's easy to forget. He made some big stops in that game at a couple of points.
Yeah, he's good in the third period.
There was one right in front. Was it Backstrom who had two hacks at it? And he stopped them both, like, point blank.
No, he was good. And, I agree with the call. I don't like the way he played the Wilson goal. He had no chance to save it once he was where he was. And this is the thing with Rask, too. You know, he's down so much that you don't know what's a more upright goalie. The second goal, the Ovechkin, non-Ovechkin deflection, you know, pops over Rask's shoulder. He has no chance on that, but he's down. What if it's Swayman who keeps his feet just a little bit longer? Does that clip him in the shoulder and go over the bar?
No, it's a good question.
I mean, you just don't know. And on the Wilson goal, does Swayman just play that a little more aggressively to the point where Wilson's got far less to shoot at? And because he's got far less to shoot at, he's holds his stick a little tighter and doesn't hit the spot. Like but there's so many of those with Rask that it's really, you know, we've had the conversation 4,000 times. We can have it 4,001 if you want, but I feel that was a classic Rask game. Good, but he didn't win.
Yeah, he's not number one on my list. That's all I'll tell you.
Again, not even close. He almost never is.
Yeah, I didn't love the overtime goal. I'm not telling you I blame him for it. But again, when it hits the inside of his pads and then as he's closing comes in, like, it's just a hard one to stomach.
It is.
It's a hard one to stomach. But the fact is they didn't do a good enough job going to the net, you know, on the other end of the ice.
It's almost never his fault. I mean, honestly, I'm not being sarcastic when I say that. It's never hit. I would just like him to win once. So I can say, you know, I think that's what I need. I need to see him actually be the reason you win, not the reason you lose. You know what I'm saying? Rocco in the truck. Go ahead, Rocco.
So, from this morning on TNR till now, the level of doom and gloom and hysteria from some people about the annihilated, vastly overplayed, I don't think these people watched the entire game. That's the first thing. Second, you got two goals that are fluky-ish. Bruins didn't bring their A game. It was a B-plus game, but didn't bring their A game. And it still took a fluky goal in overtime for Washington to win. I said from the beginning this was going to be a close series, but I thought the Bruins had the slight edge. I'm sticking to that. I think they get their ship righted, and I think you're going to see a 40-shot effort on Anderson. And I think it could get away from them from the Capitals tonight because I think that's what we're looking at from here on out through the series.
Okay, I don't your prediction. I'm not, you know, I can't predict the future. I hate trying to do it. Your analysis of the game, I think, is dead on. I think people have overreacted, like they were annihilated, thoroughly outplayed, completely outclassed. Like, that's not the game I saw. I saw it was pretty much back and forth, And the Caps were, I think the Caps got to where they needed to get to more than you did. But it doesn't mean like you never got there or they got there every time. I think it was tilted in their direction a little bit, but not grotesque. But again, I guess, you know, I don't know what that means. You know, you still might be outmatched by the Caps. They might be a bad matchup for you. They might be better, bigger, more physical, and more talented on top of it. It's not just the physicality. There's some talent there. So they might be better than you. And you might not be able to get to that place. That might be the case. But I don't think the gap is huge. I don't think the gap was huge on Saturday night.
It wasn't.
I don't know what it's going to be going forward. I can't, you know, they're going to pour 40 shots on and pour it on tonight. I don't know that. They might lose another squeaker just like they lost on Saturday night.
Yeah, in which case, once it gets to 2-0, then I start to worry. You don't want a two-game gap in any series.
Of course. Of course you start to worry. Yes, and you should. Steven, well, I mean, let me put you like this. I didn't feel the way last night as I felt in some of the Lightning games. Or, frankly, even going back to that Blues series. Well, I thought there were some games where I do think the Blues just completely stomped on you and you could not get to where you had to go ever. Like, you almost never got to where you needed to go. Like, I mean, and again, the Lightning are big. They've gotten more physical over the years, and their skill is through the roof. And there were Lightning games, like, you're just outclassed here. And in some of those Blues games, you never got that game five back here in Boston, where you all were crying about the Achari trip or whatever. I mean, yeah, like two scoring chances all night. You just couldn't get there. I don't feel that way about this Capitals team.
No, look, again, the big thing is you got to get pucks to the net. On net. Instead of firing them off the boards.
Thank you, Steven.
I mean, you know, even that little backhander Marchand had where he got in deep. Right over the net.
Another one. Nice little feed by Krejci. A lot of people have said, well, Krejci got destroyed on the first shift. You never saw him again all night. Wrong.
That was a great pass.
He was there. He entered the zone. Great feed to Marchand up ahead. And Marchand
usually buries that.
Well, at least put it on the 40-year-old goalie who's got two starts this year. Instead, he chucked it over the bar. So that's on Marchand down low, getting too cute or too fine or something. But again, Krejci was in the game.
It was a great pass.
And it was a great pass, and he set Marchand up for what should have been a good scoring chance. And Marchand didn't even put – that was even a shot on net at the end of the day. So, like, that's the problem. Real quick, Steven in Boston, go.
I didn't have a problem with the game, guys. For some reason, the Bruins skill players have a tendency in the playoffs to want to make that perfect play. I think tonight you will see Cassidy make an adjustment with pucks on the net and bodies in front of the net, by the way. I also think Laviolette played sort of a neutral zone trap type of game, even though
yes.
The red line's gone.
I'm just going to stop you. They talk about their 1-3-1. Like this thing, their neutral zone play was they carried the neutral zone.
I was stunned by this. Again, I was stunned by it. I just did not expect the Caps, particularly their forwards, to get back and play it the way they played it. They really slowed the Bruins down through there.
They're well coached.
Yeah, so I'll tell you what. I think what the Bruins really got, you got to dump into Chara's corner every time. I'd go after him every single time.
And what's interesting is Laviolette, again, is smart. He's not playing Chara against your top two lines. I have the report right here. Zdeno Chara, here are the players that he went against 5-on-5 the most. Nick Ritchie, 6'10". Sean Corrali, 5'37". Charlie Coyle, just over 5 minutes. And then I'll take out the defensemen. Chris Wagner, Curtis Lazar, Jake DeBrusk. Those are the top six forwards that he went against in this game. So he's only out there against the bottom two lines for the Bruins.
Smart move.
The PK is different. The PK, he's out there the whole time, and he was a factor in the PK. But he only played against Patrice Bergeron 5-on-5, a minute and 37 seconds. So Laviolette's smart. I don't want to say he's hiding Chara, but he's not letting Chara out there against those skilled guys in those situations where they can dump it in on him.
And Mike, maybe some of that time was the one where Pastrnak almost stuffed the puck in the net, right?
That was one of them, yeah.
So again, that was early. So maybe Laviolette saw it and said, uh-oh, we're not letting that happen again. Because I thought Bergeron was on him on that shift.
Okay, more Bruins thoughts throughout the course of the day. It is a reentry Monday. We want to get to some Patriots items. I think we have a report on Mac Jones. Did I pick this up in our email chain? I'm teasing it here. What do we got?
We got a little bit of info there.
Oh, we got a little something.
Murray's got a little bit of info, too.
Well, I think it's the same thing you got, man.
Yeah, no, I'm willing to bet it is.
I don't care who it is. Let's repeat it if we have to.
Yeah, Murray and I share a source. It's a three-way.
Jeremy Connolly's behind the glass here for Jace, too, so it's not even Stewart's phone. Jeremy, you got a phone? Does anything ever pop up on your phone?
No, I don't have a phone.
Okay. good boy. Stay off the internet. So Stu isn't even here, and someone's phone is ringing, so we got some intel on Mac Jones and what he looks like down in Foxborough. We'll give you that in 90 seconds. First, an update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.